Hey, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Virtualicious podcast. And today I have got a real life friend of mine, Ankita from One Girl and Her Family. The reason we're laughing is because we were just saying we are real friends, like real life friends, even though we met through food. So Ankita is a Thermomix advisor. So I have a Thermomix. I've talked about it in the past. I love my Thermomix. It's absolutely amazing. And I actually bought my Thermomix, my second Thermomix I bought through you, Ankita. I bought my Thermomix through your friend. Because that with Thermomix, you just become friends, don't you? When you like.
Absolutely. I mean, I always say friends become customers, customers become friends. And then if you join, like you did for a very, very short time, we become an extended family of just people. Yes, it's quite exciting.
Brilliant. So welcome, Ankita. Thank you for joining me. And you're like me, you love cooking, right? And because you're always on your Thermomix, you love using it a lot. So one thing that we both have in common, like we're both Indian, so we love pancakes, but we also have different takes on pancakes, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the normal recipe of pancake is a staple in our house. I have two children. It's a weekend treat. And obviously, I'm going to just throw that in. The same batter, I make waffles very often with it as well. But I'm very excited to talk about, different pancakes today as well. In advance of Pancake Day and Shrove Tuesday.
Excellent. Yeah. So all right, let's start with the basic recipe. Okay, so I have a basic recipe. I don't know if you've got a basic recipe. If you make it every week, then you probably do. I always have like these sort of visions every year. I love Pancake Day, it's like my favourite day. And then I'll make pancakes, I'll make savoury, I'll do the whole meal as pancakes. So I'll like do savoury pancakes for dinner and then sweet pancakes for dessert because I just love them so much. But pancakes are so easy, like they're super easy and you can make the batter in advance and leave it in the fridge and then, you know, the next day come back and make pancakes again. And I think, I'm going to start making pancakes like throughout the year and I never do, but I wish I did because it's amazing. They are brilliant.
Oh gosh, you should. I mean, that's the greatest thing. I mean, again, it's such a nutritious meal because it's got that balance of the carbohydrates, obviously the protein if you're using egg, and the dairy, but you can also use all the dairy-free milks as well. So interesting enough, I don't know why more people aren't having it, not just for, not just for breakfast, but like you say, lunch and dinner, because it's just something so easy that you can make when you are time poor, yet it's nutritionally balanced.
So true. So, all right, basic recipe. My basic recipe, I've converted it from grams and milliliters into tablespoons and mugs and things like that. So it's 5 tablespoons of flour, 1 egg and half a mug of milk is my standard recipe. And it's so easy to remember.
Right. Okay. How many pancakes, is that sort of for one or is that for?
That makes a few pancakes. I don't know how many. I'm really rubbish at kind of
working it out.
How big you make them. It depends on how thin you make them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if I'm looking at my basic recipe, it's something like 200 grams of flour, 2 eggs. And then it's funny because the recipe I follow, because again, I'm following Thermomix recipes, has about 300 grams of milk. But that makes, and if you can see the pictures that we've both got on our backgrounds, it makes those kind of really thick American stack pancakes. But when you're having them as often as we do, we water them down by putting more milk. So it's kind of more, I'm going to now be totally like more British type of pancakes where they're thinner. And you could be putting them with lemon and sugar or the crepe Suzette type of things. So yes, it's definitely more milk. But I think the great thing is people know what they like, don't they? If the batter looks too thick, then they can add some more liquid. If it's too liquid, you add a bit more flour. I mean, it's totally up to you what you can do.
So when you said you use it to make waffles, do you use a thicker version for the waffles?
Yeah. So when I'm making waffles, yes, I do use the thicker version. But like you say, I'll make the standard batter, whatever that is. And then if we have leftovers, I'll put it in the jar, put it in the fridge, and it tends to thicken overnight naturally. So, you know, like any cooking, if you make your first waffle and it turns out too thick, you add a bit more milk. But I think any version works for waffles. You just need a good waffle iron.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought one recently. I love it. I had one, but I couldn't find it anywhere, which is not like me. And I've looked absolutely everywhere. I can't think, how can you lose a waffle iron? You know, when you've looked everywhere, it's not like something that you lend out, is it?
No.
Or you take somewhere with you. Where is it? So I had to buy another one.
Okay. Oh, no, really?
Another one, because you need a waffle maker.
You do. And some of those really great waffle makers turn into, if you change the heat plate, turn into toasty makers. That's the one I have. So I've got both plates.
I have a separate toasty maker. But yeah, because you need a sandwich toaster as well. Like, sandwich maker. What are they called? Sandwich maker?
Yeah, it's like sandwich maker, toasty makers. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You need lots of space. That's the problem. Okay. So we're saying that that's a standard thing, a standard mix. But the thing is, you know, that's got all the things that some people are trying to exclude at the moment. So it's got gluten in it, it's got eggs in it, and milk, which, you know, you have all these different dietary requirements, like lactose intolerant, maybe you're vegan, maybe you're gluten intolerant. So what I think we'll do is we'll talk about all the alternatives, because I know, like, the things that you're into as well and I'm into, and actually these alternatives, which are really traditional alternatives in some cases, actually address those points, don't they? And they do it in such a nice way that you're not missing out. It's super tasty and you're being a bit more adventurous.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we'll also be touching on, like, the savory side of it by talking about that as well. So I know one of your favorites is doses, and I actually don't know how to make them, so I'd love to know how.
Okay, so,
and if you explain what it is as well.
Absolutely. So it's interesting, and I know you said we're both from India, so I'm actually from North India, whereas dosas are a South Indian, almost staple. I'm going to say staple. And, you know, even as an avid cook, even as a Thermomix owner, I always used to go out for dosas to, you know, Indian restaurants to get them, until I, you know, hired about 10 years ago an Indian housekeeper. And she suddenly was like, why aren't you making dosas at home? They're so easy to make. So she made them. And now, again, it's a staple in our house, because, again, when people are trying to stay meat free, as many people are trying to do, or have meat free days, dosa is a really lovely meat free version as well. So what it is, it's kind of a thin rice and dal and lentil pancake. And they're traditionally eaten as breakfast with something called sambar, which, again, the easiest way to describe it is, like, it's a, I spent quite a lot of time in Japan, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's like the staple for South Indians. Sambar and dal is the equivalent of a Japanese miso soup. And you can either have a plain dosa, or you can have it filled with things like potato, and then eat it with sort of curries and chutneys. So it seems quite labor intensive the way I'm talking about it, but then when you realize how easy it is to make, you think, why haven't I made that before? And Avni, I'm going to ask you in about a week, have you made it?
I reckon I will have, because I'm really intrigued, and I know my mom loves them as well, but we don't know how to make them. So
yeah, and it needs, so the only thing that needs the preparation time is the fact that you have to soak your lentils and you have to soak your rice overnight.
Right, what kind of lentils are
so there? Generally, the best ones to use is urad dal. So U-A-R-D, urad dal.
And then these the ones that, because you can get them, they tend to be black, but you can get them skinned, can't you?
Yes. So the ideal is, because those are normally white, you use them. So the reason why you're soaking them is that they soften and any of the skin that is still there is taken out. Personally, I quite like skins. I like peels in various different foods of mine because I feel that sometimes adds the protein or the nutrient elements.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's, if you take, for example, again, I'm going to give you weights. So about 120 grams of urad dal.
Yeah. Nice.
And 120 grams of rice.
Oh, so it's equal.
Equal quantities. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. And you soak them overnight, so they will then become soft. And then you basically rinse them out. So all the sort of, you know, dirt or anything that has happened with that overnight is there. So then you've got your 240 grams of your ingredients. And then you basically add a little bit of salt and water, and then grind it to make a batter. So if I'm being, again, technical on the grams, you're almost putting two parts of, so you're putting exactly double of water. So if it was 240 grams, you're then using 240 grams of water, but depending on how thick you want it. So because it was 120, 120, so it's two parts to two parts.
Okay, because the rice and the dal will now actually weigh more because I would have absorbed the water.
Yes.
So you're using the original weight.
You're using the original weight, yes. I'm using the original weight, but then adding a little bit more depending on the batter consistency.
So it's 120 grams of rice, 120 grams of dal, which is lentils. Yep. You can, the arid lentils is
URAD.
That's it, URAD. Yeah. And you can just get that from any Indian supermarket.
And not just that. I mean, now, you know, these, with so many people eating lentils, you don't even have to go to a special Asian shop. I buy it in my local Asda.
Can you get
and Tesco, which has, absolutely. Okay. They've got huge sections now with Asian. Not just Indian, but all kinds of Asian cuisines. I'm kind of astounded at how great supermarkets, high street supermarkets now are.
It depends when you are, though. There are some places where you can't. It depends that if there are Asians in that area.
Yeah.
The demand's there or not. But as we say, like with the URAD, it says URAD. And
it's yep.
And you can get, with most dals, you can get them skinned or you can get them, or most lentils, you can get them skinned or you can get them with the skin on. We want the ones that are skinned, so without the skins, and they will be pale in colour.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Dark. So it's half and half, and then it's the 240 grams of water that you would add on. Brilliant.
And plus some. So if you're talking about 240, you can almost go up to 300 if you're thinking about it. But again, just like our basic pancake batter, it's about your consistency.
And when you grind it, so you're grinding it obviously in Thermomix. I would, because I've got a Thermomix, but if you haven't got Thermomix, you could use a food processor.
A food processor or blender. Yeah, absolutely.
Blender, would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'll take some time, but you just want, you want all the rice and the urad dal to just be blended into that water.
It's like, and a you'll batter, get, isn't it?
You'll get what looks like, you know, a milk consistency, a milk colour, because it's generally white. What you'll produce is a white batter. And you're ready to kind of make your you know, your dosas in a frying pan. Or if anyone does cook a lot, you'll use it in a tawa, which are the sort of Indian frying pans. And the only difference between them is actually tawas are fully flat.
Oh, okay.
And the way that you make it's, so again, we're looking at the batter is going to be consistency of, you know, if anyone makes crepes, it's that thin. And unlike a normal pancake where you kind of pour it and then it kind of disperses in your pan, here you're kind of using your ladle to disperse it to make that thin pancake.
And there's a technique to doing that. Before, actually, I want to ask you one more thing. With the rice, does it matter what type of rice you use?
Well, I only use basmati rice. So if we're going to be technical and keep to the Indian stands, you know, white basmati rice would be good. But, you know, I haven't tried any others.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm wondering because I think sometimes they act a bit funny, don't they, different types of rices?
Oh, gosh, Avni, that's a whole different podcast.
We'll do a different, another episode. Okay.
Because I have Japanese rice, jasmine rice, Thai rice, and Indian rice in my house.
We'll have to try it with different rices to see what the different.
I can do, but each of them have. I mean, they have different flavors, don't they? And also different, like you say, different gluten and things like that. So most people have basmati rice in their house, don't they?
No, I don't think so. I don't think most people do. I think that's the thing. That's one thing that I always try and do is make recipes so that they're versatile, so that you can switch up. If you haven't got urad dal, you could use, I don't know, mung beans.
I'm sure the dal is more versatile and easily replaced. I mean, sure. I mean,
you have to try.
In fact, I'm just thinking about it. I don't see why using basmati rice is, you know, people could use brown rice. It's just going to be a different color.
Yeah, and it will have a little bit more of a kind of bite to it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if they don't have basmati rice, they're not likely to have, you know, Japanese sushi or Thai, which those definitely have different flavors. But gosh, if anyone listening to this is going to use sort of American short grain Uncle Ben's, let us know how that turns out.
You don't know, do you? Like, we might as well try. I mean, I make so many different Indian types of pancakes. I don't make dosa, but we do so many others with different types of dals and different different flours, like chickpea is a basic one. Chickpea flour and water is a pancake in itself, and
gluten free,
and it's gluten free, egg free, dairy free, the whole lot. Mm. So there's so many different variations. I don't think you need to worry about sticking to a particular recipe. I think just use whatever you've got and just make it your own. But where you're saying you put the ladle in this, and then you've got to spread the, as I'm moving, my screen is, I'm kind of disappearing. I'm half disappearing as I move. Anyway, so as you pour the batter into the pan, and then you use a ladle to spread the batter out, and that takes a bit of practice.
It does. And with all of these things is a bit of skill, but I'm a big believer of we're home cooks, right? You've got the ingredients, you're making it. Yes, the professional one will have this really beautiful round dosa that is all uniform. But, you know, guess what? I'm making homemade dosas. I don't care what it looks like, as long as it takes great. And I always encourage, you know, again, because I have children, you can imagine, you know, what I would produce and what they produce is completely different. But the fact is, it all cooks eventually, and it all tastes great. So again, for any of the listeners, don't worry what it looks like, because I'm sure it'll taste fabulous.
Exactly. Yeah, I always try and, when I'm using the ladle to spread out a pancake mix, I always try and use, you know, the bottom of the ladle. So you're not doing the edges or anything. It's just the bottom, and you're kind of going round and round, and do it really gently and just gently spread it out, I think.
Yeah, and do it only once. So from inside in a swirl, out.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't go back and repeat that. Just do it once while it's still nice and wet.
Right. So you put the batter in when presumably the pan is hot.
Do
you?
Yes. Yes. Again, the pan will be hot. Depending if it is nonstick or not, you can put a little bit of ghee or oil in it, and then just, yeah, fry it like a normal pancake.
And then you just flip it, so once on each side.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, all right, so I've got that. So it's basically, it's half and half lentils and rice, and then double water.
Yeah,
and then let it soak overnight, grind it up, and
add a little salt as well. Maybe add a little salt, pinch of salt,
and then fry it, and you're done. Yeah. Right, love it. And you've got one more recipe, haven't you?
Yeah, so this is what we're having actually, because you know it's Shrove Tuesday, we might get the basic pancakes out for breakfast, but I quite like eating savory pancakes as well. And I think savory pancakes can just be fabulous. So I spent on and off 15 years in Japan. And one of my favorite ones is okonomiyaki.
Right. And I've not heard of this at all. So this is...
You've not heard of it. Yeah. So okonomiyaki is one of the specialties from South Japan and Osaka. And it's sometimes it's literally called the Japanese savory pancake. But it's more like between a pancake and a frittata.
Okay.
Because it's made with flour, eggs, and then basically anything else that you want, right? So, you know, people can put, so you, the basics that you put are things like cabbage, carrots, some onions, to add some of that sort of, you know, flavor into it. You can also use, you know, scraps of meat or different vegetables. And then add that to your batter and then make a, you know, pancake. But the bit that I love is not just the pancake which you, or the savory pancake which you end up making, but it's the condiments that you put on top of it. Right. And one of the two famous things are that you put okonomiyaki sauce, which again, I can find the recipe, and I remember writing that, and I'll just remember while you're talking. Then you put a mayonnaise on it. So you kind of, it's a very pretty drizzle of okonomiyaki sauce, Japanese mayonnaise, but again, you can use any mayonnaise. A bit of seaweed, and then fish flakes, which are bonito flakes. And oh my goodness, just talking about it, my mouth starting to water because
you're getting very excited.
It's very exciting. And it's so simple. It's so simple, but it's so delicious. And
so you've got flour and eggs. Is it plain flour?
Yeah, plain flour. Yeah.
If you're like I know measurements are difficult, but if you're adding eggs, what consistency should that turn into, a sort of pancake batter type consistency?
Yes, it's kind of like a pancake batter consistency. Yes, exactly.
You've got quite a lot of eggs compared to flour. More than normal.
I mean, I do have a recipe which I can link to, but again, the object here isn't the consistency. It's the fact that you're using the eggs and the flour to bind all those all the other ingredients in. Right. So depending, you know, say for example, because I like putting courgettes in it. Mm. And it's one of my kids hate courgettes. So this is a fabulous way to hide the courgettes. But courgettes are quite watery.
Yeah.
So when I've grated the courgettes, they have more water to it than if I'm using a carrot, which doesn't really have water. So I think the theme, and to encourage people, isn't to worry about the quantities. It's to kind of look at your food or your batter and see, does it look too wet? Then add a bit more flour, or does it look too dry? Add a bit more water to, you know, so things are nicely coated and bound together.
I love this. So I've put a blog post, blog post together.
Yeah.
On pancakes, and what I'm really loving is, which I'll link in the show notes below, and what I really like is that you've given us two completely different recipes to go along that, because in my blog post I'm talking about some of the Indian pancakes that I make and some of the different versions and different savory fillings that I put in my sort of more British type pancakes.
Yeah.
My mushroom and cream cheese filling, for example, which I really love, and different ways as well. Like traditionally, we talk about having pancakes in, you know, like flat large pancakes, but you can make them with self-raising flour. So you can have baking powder, and you can make them like the ones that we're looking, like the ones behind us right now.
Yeah.
Or you can stack them. One thing I really loved in lasagna with pancakes is making them like a lasagna, where you sort of stack them with the filling in between.
And oh then, yeah.
Oh yeah. And then, you know, if you've got like a creamy or tomatoey sauce, and then put, you know, finish it off with some cheese on top and put it in the oven. Oh my God, it's really nice. And it's so good for this time of year when it's cold in the UK right now, and you're having something, you know, how lasagna is really warming.
Yeah.
This is like a lasagna, but made from pancakes instead.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's so good. And you can also, like, you know how you have like cannelloni tubes? You could just kind of like make a bake where you're going to wrap the filling in the pancakes. There's so many different things. So I talk about some of that in my blog post. And now we've got these different ideas as well, which I'll have to get around to adding, I guess. But
absolutely. And I do have the okonomiyaki recipe on my blog as well. So it's there, including the okonomiyaki sauce, which is basically a mixture of the oyster sauce, sugar, ketchup, and Worcester sauce. Worcester sauce, shall I say. See that TikTok where no one can say it?
And I haven't seen that TikTok, but I think I might make one.
So yeah, exactly.
I'm saying I'm going to do a 30-day, I'm hoping to do a 30-day challenge of TikToks, where I'm going to make a different TikTok every day and try and like get into it, because my channel's looking a bit sparse at the moment.
Oh, you should. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. And, you know, I have to say, I'm a 40-year-old woman and I love doing this.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's just a bit of fun, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Do it.
I will. We'll have to follow each other. I think we're already following each other, but I'm just not active enough. So,
well, I don't always put my TikTok reels on my page, like on my normal page. You have to go to my reels to see them, but I've done some really funny ones that have nothing to do with cooking or food or health, but they're just funny and fun. So
okay.
I put well, them anyway.
A couple, I'll link them. You know, a couple of the really good ones. I'll link them in the show notes so people can see that. And also a link to your blog specifically for that recipe as well. But you've got other really good recipes on there. Like one of my favourite ones is actually really, it sounds really boring, but it's actually one of my favourite ones. It's one of the recipes I make the most ever.
Which one is that?
Is the tomato and red pepper soup.
Oh, because that is a classic. That is, I mean, actually, the reason why that's a classic is because the Thermomix purees the red pepper skins and the tomato skins so beautifully that you never know that you hadn't sort of roasted them and not peeled them. But also the vibrancy of the colour is so great. And you have lentils in that recipe too. I mean,
you don't know that you've got lentils because you can't.
No. I mean, funny enough, and I love the fact that you've said that, because that is our wow recipe, including professional chefs. We do that as professional chef demos all the time.
Oh, no, I love it. Honestly, it's my sort of almost my go-to recipe. And I sometimes think, oh, I should make a different soup, but I can't. I just like that soup.
Yeah.
And every time I have it, and I have it actually with my, you know, I do my Virtualicious recipe blends, and I've got my peri-peri mix. Tip, try it with a peri peri mix. It's absolutely amazing. Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
And I was going to say, I know you're using, you know, you were talking about your pancakes and then stacking them as a lasagna, but use that soup as a pasta sauce and then bake it.
You know what I do actually sometimes? I might zhuzh it up a bit more just to give it a bit more kind of, I might add some herbs and stuff to make it.
And then less water makes a pasta base. I mean, it's I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, well, one thing we're
going to... off pancakes.
Yeah.
We'll bring it back in a minute.
You're going to have to do more. But yeah, I was thinking with that soup, what I want to try doing is making it almost without the water as much as possible.
Yeah.
Almost like having bits frozen so that I can take it out and water it down. Yeah. When I want to make a soup really quickly. I'm going to have to try that, and we'll have another episode and we'll talk more about
Brilliant. So tell me, what is, I mean, I know we've talked a lot about pancakes, but what is your favorite pancake then? I mean, we have a lot, but you've got to narrow it down to one, Avni.
I think one of the ones I've been most impressed, I mean, obviously my Indian ones are just like awesome, right? You're never going to beat those. And you can find some recipes on my blog. Because we're not going to go into detail on that, but one that I think I'm most proud of is my the lasagna stack. But what filling that I made was mushrooms, which I sauteed down until, you know, then to sort of concentrate it a bit more, and then I just added, either you can add single cream or you can add cream cheese, and using cream cheese you can make it really healthy as well, because you can use light cream cheese. Yeah. And a bit of mustard, a little bit of flour, salt and pepper, and that's it. And I actually do the actual thing I use is the Virtulicious white sauce mix, which has the mustard and the salt and the pepper and the flour all mixed together. It's all ready. So I use that with either milk or cream cheese, and that makes a lovely creamy mushroom sauce. And then I just layer that up, and then grated cheddar on the top with a bit more of that sauce, and then grated cheddar on the top in the oven, and it's just amazing. Really good. Really good. And it's gone down well with my friends as well. So yeah.
And that actually, I mean, that whilst it sounds like a great recipe, it's also perfect for Shrove Tuesday, because it really does sound like we're putting everything in and kind of going to that excess of indulgence, which is the whole point of, you know, Shrove Tuesday.
Oh, talking about indulgence. Okay, so my dessert pancake is, so standard pancake recipe that I spoke about before, and then fill it with ice cream, Maryland cookies that have been crushed over the top, and some chocolate sauce drizzled on top. You can't beat it. It's just amazing.
Well, I have to say, in our house it's the Nutella and bananas, and then ice cream as well. Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing, they're so versatile.
Right, so it's been lovely talking to you, and we have to get this uploaded so that everyone can listen and you know, make pancakes, because pancakes are amazing, right? And I hope that after listening to this, like, everyone's going to make pancakes. Let us know if you make pancakes, and, you know, tell us what you put in them and how, you know, how they went, and share some pictures. We love it. And yeah, hopefully we'll also be making pancakes through the year this year as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some of these recipe ideas are great that you can make throughout the year, isn't it? And they're quite healthy too, so
yeah,
it doesn't have to be
okay. The Indian, we'll have to do an episode on the full Indian ones as well, because they're so healthy and so many different
it types. Is and then my final tip on that, the dosa mix, whilst you're frying it to make dosas, you're steaming them to make idlis.
Is it the same? The same
batter,
but it's less, is it less thick, less thin, so it's thicker.
Well, you have idli moles, but yeah, I steam them. It's the same batter, absolutely same batter.
Right, we love idlis. So, but we've been using the ready-made packets because we haven't really known how to make them. And the other thing I'd say about this is it's fermented, isn't it? Because it's kept overnight, and that's something we should have said up much earlier on. Is it's a really good. The dosas and also the Indian pancakes that I make are a really good way of getting the extra probiotics into your diet, you know, and that's all the rage, isn't it, at the minute? So
gut health is so important. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why, because these are traditional recipes, and they're traditional recipes for a reason, you know, like they stood the test of time for a reason, because they are good for us. They've, you know, been sort of, people have lived healthy lives eating all of these foods, you know.
Absolutely. Anyway,
we can't stop. It's been really lovely to have you, Ankita. It's the first episode with you on it, so finally, I'm so glad we've done it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got some more planned as well, so it's not going to be the last.
Yeah, we'll have to like stick to the actual topic going off. But anyway,
hopefully, I think foodies, you know, you want to be able to say, I can't just eat pancakes for breakfast, but I can stack it up for dinner. Or once I've made this batter, I can also make it for waffles. So hopefully they've appreciated that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would if I was listening.
All right. Look, it's been lovely. Take care. And I hope you've enjoyed listening. As I say, let us know how your pancakes go. Take care. Bye.
Bye.